destination in mind, just walking around and being with each other and talking, and it's always a great time. It made me think, you know, have you ever wanted to just go for a walk with Jesus? Just walking with Jesus, talking to him, listening to him, spending time with him. We're going to look at a passage of scripture today where two people got that opportunity right after his resurrection from the dead to walk with Jesus for about 7 miles. And their lives were forever changed. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, and we'll take a look at this passage. It's right after Jesus has been raised from the dead. The ladies went to the tomb and found Jesus gone, and the angel said he had risen from the dead. They went back and told the disciples what had happened, and this picks up the story right then in Luke 24, beginning at verse 13. Would you stand as we read God's word? It says, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there these last days? What things, he asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all that took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see. He said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it's nearing evening, and the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen, he's appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Lord, thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, today that you'll speak to us through your word. We're going to open up our hearts and minds to receive this message you have for us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The story begins with a heartbreaking experience. Two disciples that had been with Jesus, they knew Jesus. They had seen Jesus crucified on the cross. They knew that he had died. They had also heard the news with the other disciples from the women that Jesus was risen. But like the others, they didn't believe it. And so they take off. A 7-mile journey to a road called Emmaus. It's interesting that archaeologists in Israel think they found the ancient village of Emmaus in a modern village called Kiriath Jearim, which again is about a 7 mile journey from Jerusalem. It would take about 2 hours normal pace to get there to Emmaus. We wonder, why were they leaving? And they're wondering, why should I stay? The first thing we notice is they're separated from the other disciples. Instead of staying with the other disciples, who are also trying to figure it out, they left. And I think that it's not very wise for them to leave right now. I mean, maybe we could give them a little bit of excuse about them leaving, but I think they should have stayed with the other disciples. I don't know how many disciples left, but it appears that this group that isn't believing that Jesus is risen from the dead is about to break up a bit. Because here some of the disciples are leaving and heading off to Emmaus. And they'd have missed it. Later in this evening, Jesus shows up to all the disciples. Now, they're going to be back. But they'd have missed it if they'd stayed away. And I think there's a good lesson for us here in this, before we go on. In the body of Christ, we need each other. We need the fellowship of the body of believers. If you pull yourself away, you're missing out on the fellowship. You're missing out on the encouragement that you can receive and give. You're missing out on working together in the body of Christ. I think it's important that we stay together as a body of Christ. But they separated themselves from these disciples. Began walking down the road, I imagine, at a real slow pace, discouraged, disappointed, down. And Jesus shows up. Now, isn't it interesting that here's these two disciples that are probably leaving, which they shouldn't be doing. And what does Jesus do? Chases them down. He goes after them. He seeks them out, shows up along the road beside them. He doesn't get after them. He doesn't chastise them. He just walks with them and talks with them. Now, they did not recognize Jesus' presence with them. Scripture says they were kept from recognizing him. I don't know exactly how that was happening, but somehow they were kept from knowing it was Jesus. It seems to be that Jesus did not want them to know it was him yet. They will, but not yet, because he wanted to teach them from the scriptures about himself. This is just a hunch, but I think that maybe if Jesus had revealed himself immediately, they would have listened. They wouldn't have listened to the Bible lesson that they're going to get from Jesus as they walk along the road. But Jesus is with them, even though they don't realize he's with them. And I think we need to remember that as followers of Jesus, Jesus walks with us. We might not always recognize his presence with us, but he is with us. During these turbulent days that we're going through, there are many challenges in the days that we're living in. And you know what they all are. The COVID virus is continuing to work its way through the population. A lot of people getting sick. There are a lot of problems with natural disasters happening. We've seen earthquakes and hurricanes and fires in our country and around the world. There's trauma in the world scene with all this mess that's happened in Afghanistan. There's political division. There's anger. There's personal challenges. We add those all up, and I don't know about you, but I'm glad that Jesus is with me. Amen. Even though we might not always understand that he's with us, he's with us. We're not alone. Jesus never promised us, by the way, that we would have a problem-free life. But he did promise us he'd always be with us. These guys walking down the road were discouraged by Jesus' death. Jesus asked them, "What are you talking about?" And they told him as if he needed to know what had happened to him. It's kind of funny when you think about it. What are you talking about? Well, let me tell you what they did to this guy named Jesus. And Jesus is standing there right with them walking down the road. They handed him over to be crucified, and he was crucified. And then some ladies came and told us this morning that he's risen from the dead. But all they could think about was his death. And they were discouraged. Things hadn't turned out the way they were supposed to turn out in their mind. You could really say that they were disappointed with God. This isn't the way they thought it was going to go. They didn't get it. God hadn't done what they thought would happen. Have you ever been disappointed with God? Have things ever turned out not quite the way you wanted them to turn out? And you wonder, what's going on? Your plan doesn't match up with God's plan. These people were discouraged and disappointed with God, even though God is walking with them. They'd lost their hope in Jesus. They said, "We'd hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." Notice they said, "We had hoped." They don't hope anymore. With the death of Jesus, the hope is gone. They don't have any hope. It died with Jesus on the cross, according to their thinking. They hoped Jesus was going to redeem Israel. Now, think about that for a minute. Their hope was in a political redeemer, someone to redeem the nation of Israel, chase out Rome, return the glory of Israel to Israel, and set them free. And so they're disappointed. They lost their hope. They called Jesus a prophet, but he was a prophet, but he was much more than that. He was the Son of God who came to give his life for the sins of the world. He did come to redeem, but not the nation of Israel. He came to redeem the world through his shed blood on the cross. I think that Jesus is so patient with these guys. Really, I'm amazed. This is an amazing picture of his grace. Without realizing it, they're basically telling Jesus, we're disappointed in you. We thought you were going to redeem us. And all the while, he did redeem them from their sins and give them eternal life if they have placed their faith in him. He is so patient. Now they will believe. But this moment, they were lacking in their faith. They heard the words of Jesus earlier where Jesus warned the disciples many times, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to raise back to life. They didn't believe it. They heard the words from the ladies this morning who went to the tomb. The tomb was empty. The angel said he's risen from the dead. They didn't believe it. They were really slow to believe. Now, they will come to a place of faith, but they're really slow to believe it. So as they walk along the road, Jesus is listening to them. Now it's his turn. He talks. And his words cut right through to their hearts. The first thing, we see that they were foolish in their thinking. Jesus says, how foolish you are. Now, I don't know about you, but it's not fun for anybody to tell you that you're foolish. I'm sure they didn't want anybody to tell them they're foolish. But he says, how foolish you are. Now, one thing about Jesus, he always tells the truth. They were foolish. We're foolish in our thinking if we leave God out of our thinking. We're foolish in our thinking if we don't remember what God has said in his word. Sometimes we hear it, but we really don't listen. We really need to listen. Otherwise, we'll be foolish in our thinking. They're ignoring the truth of God, trying to figure everything out on their own. They're also slow to believe the prophecies. Jesus said, you are slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. The walk to Emmaus was not the only thing that was slow on that day. Their hearts were slow to believe all that was said in the Old Testament about Jesus. Now, if you, depending on which one you click on when you do a Google search on how many prophecies are fulfilled by Jesus, there are many, many hundreds of prophecies. People don't agree on how many. But there's hundreds of prophecies that are all fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. And he says, you guys are slow to get it, slow to believe all those prophecies, and they're fulfilled in the one person of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53 is just one of them, where it says of the coming Messiah, he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. That should have told them what kind of Messiah they should be looking for. Not the political ruling Messiah, but the suffering Messiah that's going to die for the sins of the world. They did not understand the Messiah's mission. Jesus asked them, did not the Christ, which is a name for the Messiah, have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? You see, the Messiah's mission was not to conquer Rome and free Israel as a free nation. It was for him to be the sacrifice for the sins of the world. The whole sacrificial system set up in the Old Testament led forward to this moment when Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world. He died for our sins and the sins of all people. That's the mission. They didn't understand it. Again, Isaiah 53. Therefore, I will give a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That's the Messiah's mission. That's the Messiah's mission. Sometimes we fall into the same trap, I'm afraid. that these guys did, and we misunderstand the Messiah's mission. We think that Jesus came to give us a problem-free life, to give us a life where we'll always be healthy, we'll never have any struggles, we'll just be blessed and have all kinds of wealth and prosperity, no tragedies. That's not why Jesus came. He didn't come to make us happy. Now, you can be happy. That wasn't his mission. The mission was to save us from our sins so we could receive eternal life and enter into a relationship with him that lasts forever. That's why he came. They also did not see the scriptures pointing to Jesus. Jesus did an amazing thing now on this walk. He began to point out, it says, beginning with Moses, that's the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Wow. Wouldn't you love to have been in a part of that Bible study? Man alive. Jesus teaching them, opening up the scriptures, which of course, they're not opening up a scroll down going down the highway. He knows them by heart. He's saying, this was a place to the Messiah. This applies. And this. And I imagine most of that two-hour walk was a Bible study led by Jesus Christ of the Old Testament scriptures. Jesus said these words, "You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me and have life." The Old Testament points us to Jesus. Did you know that he's everywhere in the Bible? In Genesis, Jesus is the creator. In Exodus, Jesus is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, Jesus is the high priest. In Numbers, Jesus is the star of Jacob. In Deuteronomy, Jesus is the prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, Jesus is the captain of the Lord's army. In Judges, Jesus is the messenger of Jehovah. In Ruth, Jesus is the kinsman redeemer. In Samuel, Jesus is the Lord. In Kings and Chronicles, Jesus is the king over kings. In Ezra and Nehemiah, Jesus is the Lord of heaven and earth. In Esther, Jesus is the intercessor. In Job, Jesus is the risen redeemer. In Psalms, Jesus is the Lord who is our shepherd. In Proverbs, Jesus is wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, Jesus is above the sun. In Song of Solomon, Jesus is altogether lovely. In Isaiah, Jesus is the suffering servant. In Jeremiah, Jesus is the Lord, our righteousness. In Lamentations, Jesus is the man of sorrow. In Ezekiel, Jesus is the Son of Man. In Daniel, Jesus is the ruler of the world. In Hosea, Jesus is the forgiving bridegroom. In Joel, Jesus is baptizing with the Holy Spirit. In Amos, Jesus is the burden bearer. In Obadiah, Jesus is the mighty Savior. In Jonah, Jesus is the risen prophet. In Micah, Jesus is the ruler born in Bethlehem. In Nahum, Jesus is the bearer of good news. In Habakkuk, Jesus is the Holy One. In Haggai, Jesus is the cleansing fountain. In Zephaniah, Jesus is the Lord who saves. In Zechariah, Jesus is the humble king. In Malachi, Jesus is the Son of righteousness. Amen. Jesus is everywhere. Do you understand? The story of the Bible is Jesus. It's Jesus. Well, these two guys walking down the road, these two disciples had an amazing heart-changing experience. It's amazing that they got to get on this Bible study with Jesus leading them as they walked down the road. But as they approached Emmaus, it appeared that Jesus was going to go on down the road, and they urged him to stay with him because it was late. They sat down to dinner. Jesus took the bread and broke it and handed it to them, and their eyes were open and they recognized him. And it says Jesus disappeared from their sight. This is just a little bit of a side note. But think about Jesus. You know, he's risen from the dead. He has his new glorified body. And he can just disappear. He meets the disciples in a room, and he just shows up, doesn't come through the door, and he just shows up. It's pretty awesome. And you know what the Bible says? That we're going to have bodies like his glorious body? Just let that sink in for a minute. Star Trek's not that far off. I mean, with the beam me up, Scotty thing, you know what I mean? Disappearing. I mean, it's kind of cool to think about. We don't know all we'll be able to do there in heaven when he gives us those new bodies. But Jesus disappeared from them. They had their eyes opened to see Jesus was with them. They saw Jesus at that right moment. He had been hidden with them from them before, and now he's revealed to them. It could be as Jesus broke the bread and blessed it and handed it to them, they saw the scars in his hands. And all of a sudden they realized this is Jesus. They knew for certain it was Jesus. They recognized him. They would forever be changed. Even though Jesus disappeared from them at that moment, they knew he was alive, and they believed. They were given an amazing lesson of scriptures pointing to Jesus. Jesus tells us in his word, "Surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful for those times when the presence of Jesus seems so real, and you just know that he's there. Aren't you thankful for those times? But I think we also have to admit that there's times when we don't sense that he's there. But I want to share with you that he is. He is always there with you as a follower of Jesus. Whether you sense that he is or not, he's there. He will never leave you or abandon you. He's always there with you. He'll walk with us through life. Whether you're going through bad times or good times, wherever you go, he's with you. When you're having tough times, he's with you. When you're really struggling, he's with you. He will never abandon you. If you don't remember anything else this morning, remember this. As a follower of Jesus, he is with you. I got to have an amen before I can go on. Come on, you got to help me a little bit here today. They experienced an inner burning joy. After Jesus disappeared, they began to talk, and they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he went on the road? He opened the scriptures to us." Their cold hearts were set on fire by the knowledge that Jesus Christ was alive, and the scriptures pointed to that. They experienced this inner burning joy through a relationship with Jesus that nothing else in the world could provide. All because Jesus was alive. Ephesians 1:18 says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you." This amazing hope. We have a living hope in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:8 says, "Though you've seen him and you love him, even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with this inexpressible and glorious joy." Glorious joy. This burning fire from the living presence of God within our hearts. Many followers have experienced this throughout their years. John Wesley, one of the founding fathers of the church, his testimony. He says, "I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street where one was reading Luther's preface to the Romans. About 8:45, while he was describing the change God works in the heart through faith, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given to me that he'd taken away my sins." That burning heart that comes from knowing Jesus Christ, that he is our Savior. They remembered the revelation from Scripture. The Scriptures had been opened to them. They understood them. These two people, disciples, I believe are going to become leaders in the church because they got this great Bible study from Jesus. They're going to be way ahead of the other disciples. And I think some of the other disciples who preach and teach are going to learn from these guys who learned from Jesus. Here's what that scripture refers to. Here's what that refers to. Here's what Jesus said. They remembered it. Jesus has opened the scriptures for them. And we need to understand today that Jesus is still doing that. As you pick up this book, the Word of God, and read it, He will help you. He'll open up the scriptures to you. And you can listen as God speaks to you through His Word. These disciples experienced new hope in Jesus. They'd lost their hope. Remember, it was gone. They didn't have any hope when they went to Emmaus. Now they're full of hope because Jesus Christ is alive. Before, they were hoping about what Jesus might do for them. Now their hope is based on what Jesus did do for them. Dying on the cross for their sins. Conquering, raising back from the dead. Conquering sin and death. Giving them forgiveness and eternal life. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus Christ conquered sin and death for us, and He shares that victory with us. We have a living hope in the person of Jesus Christ, a hope that no one can take away. Well, these disciples returned to the fellowship of the believers. It's dark outside. It's late. 7 miles back to Jerusalem. It's not a wise thing to go out at night and walk in those days on the roads, but those two disciples didn't care. They got out there and they made their way back to Jerusalem. They were so excited. They were so changed. They had to go tell the people what had happened to them, that they'd seen Jesus. And I imagine they made much better time going to Jerusalem than they did going to Emmaus. Because they're pumped, they're excited, they're making good time, and they get there. They find the 11 disciples and all the others in a room gathered together, and they heard the other disciples say to them, "It's true, Jesus is alive." He appeared to Peter, and they became zealous witnesses for Jesus. They added their witness to the story. They told them, "Jesus appeared to us too along the road when we were walking to Emmaus. And He taught us this amazing lesson about how all the Old Testament scriptures pointed to Him. And then He appeared to us when He broke bread, and then He disappeared." They believed He was alive, and they shared that witness with the disciples gathered in the room. That would have been an exciting time, wouldn't it? The church, that little church, would never be the same again. I was thinking about this passage, and I think, you know, these two walks from Emmaus and to Jerusalem represent two different ways we can live. Their walk to Emmaus represents a life without hope. A life where you don't really believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that He rose back to life and that He's with you. A life that has no joy, only disappointment, frustration, no great purpose. It's easy to get discouraged and disappointed when you're on the way to Emmaus. But in the road walk to Jerusalem represents life full of hope because you know that Jesus Christ is alive. You know that He is your Savior. You have assurance of your salvation, that He is with you, that you're never alone. So you have joy, you have peace. You have this wonderful blessing of knowing God is with you. So when you get discouraged, you remember God is with you. When you don't understand, you trust God. He is with you. No matter what you go through, you know God is with you. We enjoy this relationship that we have with God and a burning desire to know Him more. So I guess a question for us today is, which way are you headed? Are you on your road to Emmaus or on the road to Jerusalem? Full of hope? Or no hope? I began the message today with the question, would you like to walk with Jesus and talk with Him? And you know what the good news is today? You can. You can. Even though Jesus isn't here physically, He is here by His Holy Spirit. And He's here with us all the time. You can walk with Jesus. Walk with Jesus. We walk with Jesus by having a relationship with him, trusting in him for our salvation. We walk with Jesus through prayer, through reading his word, through worship, through service. We walk with Jesus. It's a life that we live, a relationship that you live with him. Walking with Jesus is really another way to say, I'm living in a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's always with us. Amen? He's always with us. I was talking to some folks in between the services that were talking about this message, and they were talking about the fact that sometimes we think that those people, like those two on the road of Emmaus, have a great advantage over us because they got to walk with Jesus in person. But they have no advantage over us. Because you remember the story, Jesus disappeared. Now later they'll walk with Jesus by the Holy Spirit being with them. But we have the opportunity that the early disciples of Jesus never had. We get to walk with Jesus every day, every moment. He never leaves us. Amen? It's an amazing privilege. We're going to sing a song together. If our worship team would come back up. That talks about this fact that Jesus walks with us and he talks with us. And I'm hoping it'll be kind of like a declaration of faith for you, because you know he does. So sing it, not like it's just a pretty song that you sing, but that you believe it. That you believe it. Let's stand together and sing this great song. If you need to come pray about anything today, the altars are open.